And now, from the dark corners of the internet, where exploits run wild and packets aren't the only things that are getting sniffed, and the beer flows steady, it's Paul's Security Weekly! This segment is sponsored by Palo Alto Networks, the creators of the next generation firewalls, helping you enforce network security policies based on applications, users, and content. Visit them on the web at paloaltonetworks.com. And by Tenable Network Security, the creators of Nessus, the world's best vulnerability scanner. Check out Tenable's other cool products such as the Passive Vulnerability Scanner and Security Center Continuous View. Visit them on the web at tenable.com. It is now time to fire up a packet capture, pour yourself a beer, and give the intern control of your honeypot, because here's your host. He's got an O-Day for Gopher and has parts of his anatomy that taste like chocolate. Sexual chocolate, if you know what I mean. Paul Asadorian!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Paul's Security Weekly. This is episode 372 for Thursday, May 8th, 2014. Just some very quick announcements before we get into our feature interview for the show. You can purchase Hack Naked t-shirts online at shop.securityweekly.com. There's a few discount codes out there that I've given to special listeners who listened to a previous episode, who subscribe to our mailing list, securityweekly.com/insider. Subscribe to our mailing list. We tend to send out discount codes there. That's shop.securityweekly.com for your black men's cut Hack Naked t-shirt in sizes small through triple extra large. Get them while supplies last.
Now that's a mouthful.
Yes.
Wow. Said that all in one breath, too.
Attend the show live if you're in the Rhode Island area. You can check out securityweekly.com/attend for more details. Say hello to our live in-studio listeners. Listen to all clap. Okay, no, there's really no one in here in the studio. But,
right, you get a clap under the table, right?
Come to B-Sides Boston tomorrow and Saturday.
Yes, indeed.
B-SidesBoston.org. I will be there selling shirts, maybe with Chris, maybe with Steve, maybe with someone. I don't know. Chris, can you make it to B-Sides Boston on Saturday? I'm asking you now live on the air to put some pressure on him. This is the big...
He's got to check his busy social calendar. He's checking his social calendar.
It's only Thursday and we're going on Saturday?
Yeah, Saturday. Are you busy Saturday? You want to go on a date with me to Boston? All right, check your calendar. Get back to me by the time we get to the next segment.
And I'll be doing the opening keynote tomorrow afternoon at 1.
Excellent.
And I will be on an airplane to lovely San Diego to teach Sec 617.
Ooh. So you haven't signed up for that. It's probably too late.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Yes, but don't worry. There's some more coming up soon.
Yeah, and don't forget, B-Sides Connecticut on June 14th. securityb-sides.com/B-SidesCT2014. Are you going to be there?
I don't know.
Oh.
Well, so I just had a SANS class cancel on me, and I think it was that week.
I gotcha. It's a Saturday.
I know, but SANS is a six-day course, and often runs into the weekend. So, yeah. So I might be able to do that.
Larry, I will now turn it over to you to introduce our feature guest for this episode.
We have with us this evening for this wonderful podcast a man that you may recognize as a fixture from DEF CON for many years and has got this neat little project going on. Eddie Mize, otherwise known as Eddie the Yeti, who has spent 31 years in the computer industry, 18 years of those in InfoSec, and he does all sorts of crazy stuff. You know, he's been a imaginative red team attacker, social engineering specialist, Cisco Enterprise Technical Advisory Board member, cloud security architect, cloud provider security architect, security evangelist, keynote speaker. You name it, he's done it in healthcare, PCI DSS, ISO 27002. Just a man of many talents. I bring to you Eddie the Yeti, Eddie Mize. Eddie, welcome.
Thank you, guys. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Doing well.
Got to do a shout out to 303, my boys there.
Well, doesn't everybody have to do a shout out to 303?
Well, oh, plus I know Pyro, you know, so
well,
there's that.
There's that. Yeah. So Eddie, the first thing that we ask every one of our guests, and to give some folks some background who may not know you, how did you get your start in information security?
Yeah, that goes back. This is going to be bad because it's going to date myself here. I better have a drink. So this is probably in the late 70s, early 80s. My parents got me a little Zilog Z80 box and got some kits and put together and sort of tore it apart, rebuilt it. We were playing with some stuff, a friend of mine and I, and we were doing some war dialing right before the War Games movie came out, and we were not really understanding what was going on, but we were kind of figuring it out and won a lot of BBSs and things like that, kind of figuring this new stuff out. Thought it was pretty cool. And then some people came to my father's door and he denied that there was anything like that going on because he honestly thought there wasn't. But they came into my room and there was taped up usernames, passwords all over the wall, ceiling, floor, etc. And so I was rather incriminated and hadn't done anything really bad, so just got a hand slap, and that's kind of the starting point.
Excellent. So yeah, it was a don't do that again type of thing.
Or if you do it for us.
Really? Interesting. Yeah, it was a different time back then, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah, because you just got a little don't do that again and come do it for us, as opposed to several years in prison.
Yeah, except I'm pretty sure they couldn't have done that to me at that age.
Wow. Okay, so that young. Okay. Good. So, Eddie, we were chatting back and forth, and there's one reason that I personally wanted to bring you on the podcast, because I think you got this great thing going on. But I didn't want to pigeonhole you into sort of one thing, but want to talk about a little bit of some of your technical experience and some of those things. And we mentioned some conversation about, hey, I've done some red team stuff, and I'm really creative with my attacks. Can you sort of tell us about the creativity behind pen testing?
Yeah, I mean, there's I personally know thousands of people that are better at it than I am, but I do feel like I'm fairly creative and come up with some pretty crazy attack vectors and some pretty imaginative scenarios to go after that, and had a couple that were really successful and a lot of fun. One of them trying to get into a pretty secure hosting data center, and a couple teams that actually worked on it a little bit, and I hadn't, and they called me and said, hey, can you physically get in this facility and kind of leave some indicators you were there? And all right, thinking about it and thinking about what they'd already tried, and ended up doing some OSINT and connecting up with vice president of marketing for this organization, and start talking to him online, and I'm just pretty straight up with him, and I'm like, hey, I do red team, I do blue team, I do security consulting, do all kinds of stuff. And I got a great big client and, several billion a year. And they're looking to do some colo, but they're pretty concerned about their security. So I really would like to give them a tour and kind of show them through your facility. And you could talk about all your controls and the things you're doing. And that might reassure them. And then they'll do business with you and you get lots of money. And he said, oh, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, bring them by. And so we came, and I brought a client with me and a pocket full of these drop cards to indicate I was in places I shouldn't have been. And he bypassed all their controls and took us through the facility on this massive super tour and talked about all the things. So he's dropping to me the controls that they're using. And of course I'm escaping and disappearing away from the party periodically and getting into places I probably shouldn't, and dropping little cards in there. And then it was a race back to the office. Can I get back to the office before the phone starts ringing? Cause the cards said to please deliver back to the CISO, and then tell them where you found the card kind of thing. And then the CISO was calling, didn't quite make it to the office. He was already calling, like 25 cards had come back in from places. Yeah, they're freaking out. So that was a lot of fun. That was one.
very nice. So yeah, I mean that's a pretty interesting approach to a problem. Like as you said, you may not be the best, but you've got a creative approach to it. And quite honestly, I think that really makes or breaks a really good pen tester is having that creative approach.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Absolutely. So to that creative approach, the real reason that I wanted to talk to you on the podcast, one, you've got this great project, but
out of that project has become, you know, the background to your video, is the fact that you not only are you a security professional, but you have this great hobby of art. But from my understanding, it's not just a hobby. It's also a form of therapy for you. And I wanted you to sort of talk to that, because I know there are a lot of folks in our industry that both suffers from the same problems that you do, as well as whether they really know it or not, they really need a hobby that's low tech.
Sure. Absolutely. Be able to put the tech down once in a while and get away from that.
Absolutely. So tell us about your hobby and tell us about how it works for therapy for you.
So I've struggled with, or been blessed with, however you want to look at it, bipolar for several years now, probably 35 years, 36 years that I've known about it. And so, you know, that has its advantages and disadvantages, obviously, but sometimes you do just need to get away from the tech world for a while. And found out several years ago I had a pretty significant negative event in life and needed some way to deal with that that was constructive. I didn't go out and, you know, strangle cats or something. And so I was going to say choke chickens, but
you can do that all you'd like.
It's a different kind of therapy.
In the privacy of your own home or hotel room.
That's not very creative. And so ended up...
if it's not creative, you're doing it wrong.
Well, I use soy sauce. I don't know about you, but...
That's creative.
But just started doing a lot of painting and drawing. I don't have any background in it, no training or anything like that. Just started fiddling with it, and hey, I can kind of do this stuff, and it's fun, and I'm sure I'd do all of it wrong. I've had a few art-trained type people and friends that kind of look at that like, oh my God, technically that's just, you're not doing that right at all. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know what right is, so it's cool.
There's no right or wrong when it comes to art.
Right. And I didn't know there was a technical process. Well, or I suppose for graphic design.
You tell that to a person with a master's in art.
Yeah, see, they have a master's degree.
There are things
degree.
That I'd love to tell people with master's in art. And one of them is they don't understand
art.
Hold
on, let's back up. You can get a master's in art?
Yeah. You can get a PhD in art.
Okay, just,
yeah,
just throw that out there.
Yeah, so fun. So anyway, I ended up kind of using a lot of non-standard medium, you know, throwing whatever was around in it. And then over time, I don't even remember how this happened. Somehow I found out if you use non-standard medium, like lime juice and soy sauce and all kinds of crazy coffee, tea, and other things, Frank's hot sauce works really good. And you used all that, and then you put it in the oven, or you hit it with the heat gun or a blow dryer or something like that. It really changed the tone of it and kind of just gave it this weird, weird look to it. Very distinctive, very odd, which a lot of people in InfoSec now are familiar with.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And so that all kind of happened. And then Russ Rogers from DEF CON, he and I have been friends for a bazillion years. And I was doing all this and kind of keeping it to myself. It was just stored away. And Russ came up to me one day and he said, hey, man, you gotta get this stuff out there. And I know it's really pretty private. And he said, no, we need to get this out there. So he put up a website and helped me get going with that and stuck some stuff up, and then got hold of me. And this guy wanted to use it for their Jumbotron for their shows. And so that happened. And then this other guy got hold of me, and he was the executive producer for, he was the CEO at the time for this record company, Old School Metal Records. And he said, hey, I want you to be our staff artist. And I've got a client that want you to do some art. Okay, so he starts sending me photographs, and I start drawing this guy and doing some crazy stuff. Turns out it was Dan Spitz, a lead guitarist from Anthrax. And so then we became friends and started doing a ton of work with him. And then, you know, he's best friends, I guess, with Dave Mustaine. And so doing stuff with, you know, all kinds of different people on the West Coast. It was a lot of fun. And ended up just kind of, it opened a lot of doors into some strange relationships and friendships that, you know, I wouldn't have probably thought about or had otherwise.
Yeah.
So, in addition to being therapeutic in and of itself, certainly provided some really valuable relationships and friendships.
And you know, I certainly see the art as a gateway to that creative process, which gives, you know, folks that insight to be creative about you know, thinking differently about, you know, the medium, the approach, and, you know, even the medium and approach for various types of attack. Many, many years ago, I was actually, you know, studying art in high school, and I'd actually considered doing art school for college. But, you know, the road changes as time goes on. And I think that's helped me a lot, thinking differently about, you know, different projects and those types of things. But for me, not only is it a creative thing, having that, quote, low-tech hobby allows you to escape from all of this stuff and is a really great creative outlet that, you know, doesn't force you down the path of some of the evils that we've seen from our industry, you know, drink and drugs and that type of stuff. Not to say that that's not a lot of fun. Yeah, is it working for you? Is it keeping you, you know, on the level?
I mean, it definitely helps. I think that it's just like security. It's a layered approach, you know, and you need in-depth therapy, if you will. So sure. The creative outlet obviously is a layer. A lot of exercise and trying to eat pretty well is a layer. I climb a lot of mountains and do a lot of stuff like that and try to get a lot of balance. And then, you know, I'm not necessarily right now, I'm not on any medications. I have been off and on over the years and with varying degrees of effect, but I think that just a more balanced and holistic approach tends to serve me better. Not to say that some of the pharmaceutical assistance can't be really good for people too, but from my sake, it seems to be better if I can do that, naturally with exercise and diet and art and other pursuits that are more real, you know, creative and non-destructive.
Sure. So yeah, speaking of the art, aside from the project we're going to talk about, I'm noting a lot of your art is sort of dark.
It is
dystopian. Yeah. You know, I like it, and I'm assuming that there's
does that make you a realist?
I mean, wow.
Certainly. I mean, yeah, it's, you know, again, kind of thinking back to, you know, 2003 or four, when a lot of that really started, that was that time period. And I was going through so much stuff that it definitely had its roots in a pretty dark place and needing to get some of those things out in a creative way. And so it headed that bent. And then, you know, it's almost self-fulfilling after a while, in that after a while, then people expect a certain amount of that. And not that I try to create that to expectation, but when I was doing a lot of work with the heavy metal industry and those guys, obviously the expectation there is that style. Then there's also, as you look through, there's probably some realism and some dabbled quite a bit in cubism, a lot of Pablo Picasso-esque type things, and those actually sell really good at art shows. So there's a bit of crass commercialism in that as well.
Interesting.
And then, you know, I think there's a variety of sort of styles. And somebody told me once there's like five distinct styles in my stuff. I don't really know that, but that's what I was told. So I'll go with it.
By someone who has either a PhD or a master's degree in art?
Probably. I think they were a master's degree in debate.
Really? Interesting. Yeah. Probably a minor in art, because that makes them an expert. Yeah. So yeah, I I'm with you. I don't think that there, you know, you can be an expert in art. You just know what moves you and, you know, what appeals to you.
Yeah. That's because you don't have a degree in it.
Nice. So, you know, Eddie, one of my questions that I've got is, you know, specifically around, you know, some of your art is, how much soy sauce do you actually go through?
Oh my gosh. So I tweeted a while back ago, I was in the grocery store buying some lime juice and soy sauce, and you know, said something like, you know, shopping for art supplies or something. But and that day I actually did buy a little bottle, which is just really dumb for me. it makes no sense economically.
Right.
Normally I'll get some friend with a Costco membership or whatever, and we'll go down and get the Uber family, you know,
yeah,
the 14-gallon super drum soy,
excellent,
or something. You know, I'm pretty sure I should have stock in Kiko Man by now, and some lime juice companies and some other stuff.
Do you use regular or low sodium soy sauce, and does that make a difference?
Funny that you should ask. It actually does make a big difference.
Really?
Well, yeah, because it's different components.
I tried the low sodium for a long time, and better for my health, but not for art.
Yeah.
It didn't cook very well.
It tastes like crap, dude. The low sodium is horrible.
I mean, that's why it's soy sauce, right? Because it tastes salty. I mean,
then the other kind of funny thing about that, the saltiness, is as you can probably tell from a lot of those mediums, they're corrosive, right? So we got a lot of corrosive materials going into them. And so, you know, I don't think acid-free paper matters when you're dumping all kinds of acids and salts on it. and so then I'm also a licensed pyrotech with Night Music Pyrotechnics. And so a lot of those guys are really chemically smart, and they've got all kinds of degrees in chemistry and everything else. And they've looked for years at trying to find some way to neutralize the acids and the salts and a lot of this stuff so it'll last longer. But, you know, it's lasted 10 or 12 years in some of the pieces, and they're still going strong. So we'll see how long it takes for them to fall apart.
Right, right. Now that is, you know, specifically to the originals. And, you know, there's something to that, that, you know, hey, you got this original, and, you know, this is a cherished piece, and someday it's potentially going to go away. So that there's a certain mortality to that, you know, much like us. And I think that's actually kind of neat. But now you do prints and all that stuff as well, correct?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Probably do 8 to 20 prints for every original, depending on what the piece is. It probably averages out about like that. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Eddie, can you tell us about the Faces of DEF CON series that you many of them you have hanging up behind you? And I see that Jack is on top, which I think is...
No. Look at the top right of his head.
What's on the top right of his head?
So Jack's like right up there.
Nope.
Other side.
Jack's on the other side. But there's Paul, Jack, Darren Kitchen on the other side.
I think you're on the top of Jeff Moss.
On the other side, it's Bill Brenner, Jeff Moss, me.
Dave Kennedy's
back
there.
I'm on top. And it's weird that Dave Kennedy ended up looking like a 14-year-old boy. It's awesome.
Well, that wasn't an accident.
Awesome. Tell us about Faces of DEF CON.
Gotta have a drink real quick.
Yeah, now that is nice. Your self-proclaimed,
I like the hack naked sticker.
Your margarita with what?
That's my hacker juice. This is the alcoholic version. It's Patron Margarita with 5-Hour Energy in it. And then when I'm red teaming, it's usually half Diet Mountain Dew and half Arnold Palmer with 5-Hour Energy in it.
So. Oh, no. The non-alcoholic version, right?
Which that doesn't work very well if you spend several hours underneath a raised floor in a data center waiting for people to leave, because it comes back to haunt you.
Yeah, well, as long as you've got the bottle with you, you're okay.
That's right.
Oh, you're supposed to use the bottle?
Well, it's not your data center, right?
I just try to avoid the PDUs.
It's important to have a drain in the floor in those things. So you just got to find the drain.
You just need some of those NASA diapers.
You got to stay warm while you're down there. You know, it's kind of cold under the floor, but
and it only stays warm for so long.
I started the Faces of DEF CON. Actually, was just kind of fooling around one day. Didn't have any plans for this whole series. Like the medium, it kind of organically grew. But I just found this kind of very unusual picture of DT online. It was kind of I don't want to say it in a negative connotation, it was like a glamour shots or something. It was a professional headshot somebody did of DT. And I was like, oh, cool, you know. And Jeff's done a ton for me over the years. And so, I'm gonna draw that. So I drew it and kind of sent it over to him, and he was like, oh, I got to get the original. Yeah, I'll get you the original. And I was talking to Russ about it, and then I was like, Russ said something. I'm going to draw Russ. So I drew Russ, and okay, so now I kind of had this DT and Russ, and then Pyro was, you know, talked to him all the time. I was like, okay, well, I better draw Pyro, and he's another reason I started coming to DEF CON initially, him and Russ. And so I drew Pyro. So now it was Russ and Pyro and DT. Crap. Then people started seeing him and going, hey, dude, can you put up one of those? My, especially like a lot of 303 brothers of mine. I was like, okay, yes. So
can you do me?
Do me. Yeah, we hear that from you a lot.
Yeah.
Do me.
Yeah, exactly.
Different context, but.
And so I don't know how many there are now.
A lot.
Somebody told me it was over 110 the other day. I don't know I don't know the exact number. I haven't counted. But there's like 200 on the list right now that haven't been done yet, which I just want to say now that's probably not going to happen before DEF CON 22.
Right, right.
So there'll be probably like a version 2 or volume 2 maybe for next year. I got a few more that are in the hopper right now that I'm actually working on already, and then probably the rest I'll have to wait for DEF CON 23, I'm thinking.
Sure, sure. Now, if I think about that, you know, sort of logically, you know, the faces of DEF CON, you know, the folks that go to DEF CON change, and there's new ones that come around all the time. So that seems sort of apropos that, you know, that the faces of DEF CON continue and go on and will change over time. So makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I wanted, you know, there's obviously a lot of people that I haven't done yet that should be done. And I recognize that. And I tried to work and got a lot of help and assistance from Noid and from Russ and from a few other people that just really pitched in to kind of help me sort of determine some core people that were going to be in there. And then, of course, I made a bunch of choices myself, people that have been a big part of my DEF CON experience. So they may not necessarily be high profile at DEF CON, but they're certainly important to me from a DEF CON perspective.
Sure.
People that have helped in my booth over the years or really gone out of their way to help out. And so I did a lot of those too. But I'm very well aware and recognize that there's a lot of people that deserve to be and need to be in that group. And that's why I'm saying, you know, my goal will be that there will be a volume 2, and I will really try to catch anyone I missed and hopefully didn't offend too many people by not getting them in this first group. And so that's kind of where that all went.
Yeah, that's the detractors of popularity, right? There's just too much work and not enough time to do it in.
Yeah, and I've got a project. I'm actually taking a little break for my Faces of DEF CON right now, working on a really important art project to me. And I wanted to share that with you if I could, too.
Sure.
I think Larry's pretty familiar with this person, but I'm doing a collaboration with somebody, kind of a chance happening, another artist, and we decided to do a collaboration where we'd sort of do send it back and forth. She started it, she sent me some, I worked on it, I sent it back and forth, and so I think we're in our fifth iteration now, Larry, or something.
Fourth.
Yeah, no, I think I have fifth in my hand.
Oh, right, really? Now. Okay.
And so it's Larry's daughter, Corinne, and she's 6 years old. And so we started doing this. She started it, and then we're kind of doing this collaboration together, and I'm pretty excited about that. And definitely we'll have some prints available at my booth at DEF CON there. But
that's awesome. That's awesome.
Having a lot of fun with that one.
She is definitely waiting for the, you know, when she saw your work and saw that, you know, that you used really, as she puts it, really weird stuff to draw with. She is so waiting for the soy sauce treatment.
I'm glad so, I asked that. I didn't know. You know, I wasn't necessarily planning that, but now I'll make sure we one of these iterations gets some organics in it.
Awesome. Yeah, she's super excited. She's totally honored that some artist who's famous it totally wanted to do some collaboration with her. But you know, you roll your eyes about famous, and you know, in our community you are, and now in her mind that you are, and you know, this will only, you know, further her art career, as it were. And she is a prolific artist, to say the least. We have saved every drawing that she's ever done, and she's 6, and we have boxes upon boxes upon boxes of paper. We've gone through 2 boxes of computer paper just from her drawings. Yeah. So,
wow, that's more than me, and I thought I drew a lot.
Oh, no, she draws a lot, a lot. Yeah, so. But she's super excited about it, and you know, it's hugely appreciated for you to do that, to take time out of your busy Faces of DEF CON schedule.
I'm very honored to be doing it with her. It's a lot of fun,
and she's having a blast too. So she'll be excited to see the scan back of that, so she can do some more coloring
tomorrow. After this, I'll scan it and fire it back her way. So.
Okay, yeah. So it'll be a little bit before you get the next revision because I got to go away for a week. So, and mommy doesn't know how to use the scanner.
No worries.
I'll give you time to go back. So Faces of DEF CON, now you're going to have a lot of these prints available at DEF CON. You know, DT and some of the folks have made some tweets about it, and I tried to go back and find them, but they're very prolific folks. So what's the deal with Faces of DEF CON availability and some of that type of stuff at DEF CON?
Okay, so some of that's still up in the air. I've been talking to DT and to Will quite a bit, and so as of right now, and actually a big thanks also to Hackajar and Coleslaw too. They really have helped out a lot, but as of right now, my understanding is, and I've kind of left it in Will's hands. I said, whatever you want to do, let's, you know, I'm down with it. And the last I heard was they were going to put me, I think, in a room off a vendor. You know, I'm usually in contest. I've usually got the big eight table thing going on in contest by Mohawk Con. And this year, according to Will, I'm in some kind of an area off a vendor. And so I'll have my normal, I think, big booth for regular art. Like always. And then that'll be art for charity for EFF and HFC, and hopefully can raise a lot of money for those guys. And then additionally, if this goes the way everybody's saying, there'll be a floating wall gallery thing of some kind, and it will be dedicated just to Faces of DEF CON.
Interesting.
And so I think the goal, and Dave Noyd's helping me right now, but the goal will be, as much as we can do it, we're going to get a little bit, a couple paragraphs from each person that's featured about, you know, what has DEF CON meant to you, what's important about DEF CON to you and the info security community in general, and kind of what that's meant, and, you know, a little bit about it, and put a little placard on each one. So there'd be the piece, and then you'd have the little title card there with it talking about it. And then Will said also that there would be some goons walking around that are kind of like tour guides, I guess. And so they would answer questions, talk to people about who these people were, if they had questions about what's the history of, you know, this person or whatever, they'd walk them through that and help them out, kind of a little display thing. So it sounds like a lot of fun. And then Will's got some other ideas that I told him, again, whatever you want to do, I'm down. Talked about putting together a shirt just with Faces of DEF CON, talked about a deck of cards, all kinds of stuff. I personally will be bringing all the originals, and I'll have them all framed up, and they're going to display in there, of course. And then after DEF CON, we're going to sell them off. The people who are the subject of the piece obviously get first right of refusal, but we're going to sell them off and try to make some real good money for EFF and Hackers for Charity. So that's kind of the goal with those.
I'm totally awesome. I'm totally buying mine and giving it to my wife as a birthday gift.
Paul, are you going to buy the one that's up here behind me or the nude one?
If it's for my wife, definitely the nude one, because she can never get enough of seeing me naked, right?
neither can my... Oh, wait a minute. Neither can my... Wait. Might have to bid on that one. So you better put that up for public auction, you know, first right of refusal, so we can have a bidding war. All right. So, Eddie, you know, it's great to hear about Faces of DEF CON thing, and it's really great to hear that the folks that have been involved with DEF CON for a long time, yourself included, you know, really taking a look back at the history of the culture and of the con, and looking to preserve some of that and sort of have the quote museum. And that's a really neat project, and I can't wait to see it this year.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it.
I'd love to buy up all the members of Security Weekly and put them in the studio.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think we should do that.
It'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I think we could arrange that.
That'd be awesome. I'm down for that.
Yeah, if nothing else, you buy the original for yourself and we get a print.
We get prints.
Yeah. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah, I didn't say that, but we're definitely can hook up prints for anybody, too. I've already had a couple people that they wanted the original, like Paul, for your wife or whatever, but then they wanted prints for, you know, mom, dad, brother, sister, cousin, uncle, whatever, and certainly we'll make that available as well. So.
Awesome.
Great
awesome.
Christmas presents.
I am so getting a print of mine to send to Tim Tomes. So there was that tweet exchange after Eddie did mine, and Tim Tomes said to Eddie, how can I get mine? How can I get one? And you know what Tim really meant was, how can I get Eddie to do my picture? When in fact,
totally
Eddie
can
said, you can totally buy a print of Larry. Yeah. So I am totally buying him a print if he doesn't already. And I think I'll,
we should get him a group one and I'll sign ours and send it to him.
Nice, nice. Now, Eddie, do you do commissions as well, or is this a thing?
I do with a caveat.
Sure.
With a big bag of salt. No, what I say on those is definitely do. I think I'm pretty reasonable. Knows I've actually done quite a few in the last couple months with people wanting kids for Mother's Day. Things like that. So I can do, you know, the Faces of DEFCON style portraits of people. Then I can do some other just general art commissions people have requested, you know, some character from a book or whatever. And I can kind of go through that process. Done a lot of tattoo work. Used to actually have a tattoo studio and do it. I don't do that anymore, but I draw them for people. And I think my stuff's on about 200 or 300 people now. If you walk around DEFCON, you see a lot of my art on people.
Interesting.
And then, it can do other kinds of commissions too. You know, I think it's they can contact me through Twitter and I'll give them an email they can get hold of me at, and we can have that conversation if anybody wants to have it.
Awesome.
Maybe you can.
You know, you
want
to tattoo me on your butt cheek.
I want a custom designed PCI DSS tramp stamp tattoo. That.
Funny you should say that.
In his portfolio.
Yeah, all right. I'm going to stop.
You're
now.
Not the first to ask for that, Jack.
That's right.
Wow. That's a popular piece I've been working on. So.
I thought PCI DSS was in and of itself a tramp stamp.
Yeah. No, QSA. Oh, wait, sorry.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Sort of.
So, Jack, is your QSA tattoo going to go the same place I have Jar Jar tattooed?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Q in QSA spits brown logs, just like Jar Jar does? Wow, that went downhill fast. All right. So, Eddie, do you have anything else for us? Any other projects you want to talk about? Anything you got coming out in the future?
Yeah, I mean, I got a couple places I'm speaking, but the next kind of big one that I'm speaking, I'm talking at Cisco Live in San Francisco on the 20th of this month. I think I'm one of the few non-Cisco employees that's teaching. I'm not giving a customer testimonial or anything. I'm actually teaching. I'm doing a red team, blue team talk. I'm the red team side of it. And Jamie Heary from Cisco is he's the blue team. He's my writing and speaking partner. We've done stuff together before. So I'm going to show real world attacks and things that have really happened. He's going to show real world defense. We're going to talk about a lot of that and go through a lot of scenarios. It's going to be a lot of fun. So anybody's going to be at Cisco Live, come out and join our class. I think we're BreakSec 3068 on Tuesday the 20th at 12:30 p.m.
Jeez,
so
I can't even remember.
Around, come see it.
I can't even remember what I'm doing tomorrow.
my calendar tells me.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. So that's pretty impressive. All right, so Eddie, where can folks find you?
I'm just sitting right here.
They need to get those suction cup things and look under the floor of their data center.
Yes, yes, they do.
Oh, look at Eddie.
Yeah, that's happened to him. No, you can at Eddie the Yeti, Eddie Theyeti, on Twitter, I think. Isn't that me?
Yep, yeah, that's you. Sounds right. That's you. Cool. Sounds right.
I never tweet myself. It's really weird. And so, and then I'm also... Eddie the Yeti, same way, .deviantart, deviantart.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have
a gallery there.
Yep, we have links for both of those in the show notes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I did see that. So cool. Yeah, go to the show notes. That's where they can find me.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. So, Eddie, are you ready for five questions with Paul Security Weekly?
Okay, I've heard these before, so here we go.
All right. So, three words to describe yourself.
Intense, focused, and creative.
Okay. If you were a serial killer, what would be your weapon of choice?
Oh, icicle. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, cool. if you wrote a book about yourself, what would the title be?
The Non-Standard Route.
Oh. And my favorite question in the popular game of Ask Grabby Grabby, do you prefer to go first or second?
Yeah. I'll be the dungeon master. Like, roll a d6. Okay, you grab his ass.
Now, that, sir, is a creative way to think about an answer to a problem. All right. And if you could have dinner with one celebrity, and we'll qualify this with dead or alive, who would it be?
Celebrity. I don't know your exact definition of celebrity, but I'll go with Nikola Tesla.
Oh, all right. All right. I like it. All right. All right. So, Eddie, thank you very much for appearing on Paul Security Weekly. We hope to hear from you soon, and we will see you at DEF CON, if not sooner.
Excellent. Thanks, guys. Have a great
week. Thanks, Eddie.
Thanks, Eddie.
And with that, we'll be back after this short break.